The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Friday, the 31st of August, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas, ECOs, ticker there. And Gil goes through some of the highlights from their first quarter results for the 3 months ended the 30th of June and gives an operational update. I also have on Simon Gorringe, Chief Executive Officer of Andlas Energy and Power, ADL, ticker there. And Simon discusses progress at the company, including their recent acquisition in Indonesia. I also have on Simon Weisenberg from POW Token. It's a free cryptocurrency worth listening to. It doesn't cost you anything, and it could be worth something. Who knows? If blockchain is worth something, this will be worth something. But it's a very interesting concept. Plus, I also have on, nobody apart from me, but I also have on the top five most liked RNSs and the top five most followed companies too.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Gil Holzman, President and Chief Executive Officer of Eco Atlantic Oil and Gas. That's ECO ticker. Gil, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Always pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, you too. And you've had your first quarter results and an operational update, and we'll get into the detail of that in a bit. Before we do, Gil, for people not familiar with the company, summarize it for them, please, if you could.
Yes, we are an oil and gas exploration company. We operate a few blocks offshore Namibia, as well as one block offshore Guyana, adjacent to the recent world-class discoveries of ExxonMobil and partners. As I said, we are in particular we apply for and go into prospective regions, stable jurisdictions. We come in early. We identify prospective areas somewhat underexplored. And we start exploring them, and later on we partner with the mid-tier and major oil companies of the industry.
Yeah. Well, it is amazing because you are sort of a small cap company, and you've got these licenses of these potentially high impact prospects, which, you know, sort of majors would like to have. So how do you do this then? How do you get in there first?
This is exactly our business model, Justin. We have a team of seven people that between the seven of them, they have more than 200 years of experience in the oil exploration industry. We try to identify earlier than others prospective oil plays around the world, mainly around the Atlantic margin, somewhat underexplored. We try to focus on stable jurisdictions, English-speaking countries. We come in early and we negotiate directly with the governments, with the hosting governments, before the big boys even identify the play. This is exactly what we did in Namibia back in 2011. We were one of the first movers into the country, and today you have Exxon, Total, Shell, Tullow, Repsol, Gulf, all these big companies surrounding our blocks. This is exactly what we did in Guyana back in 2014 before any oil discovery. It was very much underexplored. Exxon held one license there for a few years that they didn't even drill. Our team identified that this area should be prospective for oil, and we applied for the block back in 2014. In 2015, guess what? Exxon came up with the first Liza discovery, 1 billion barrels of oil. Since then, they made additional 8 discoveries right in the block adjacent to us. The closest discovery is less than 6 kilometers away from our border. Mm-hmm. And today they quote more than 4 billion barrels of oil on their block. Our block is the next one to be drilled next year. And hopefully we, at least by what we see on our data, our targets directly correspond to the same play.
Yeah, well, let's go through into some of the details here in your update. So corporate highlights, you've got to Guyana. What's happening there? Bring us up to speed, if you could, Gil.
Yeah, sure. In Guyana, we completed the 3D shoot last year. That was triple the size than we were obligated for. We shot more than 2,500 square kilometers on our 1,800 square kilometers block. And that was 2 years ahead of time. Our partner there is Tullow Oil, as well as in Namibia. We feel very comfortable working with Tullow all around the world. And since December last year, we've been processing and interpreting the data. And next month, during September, we will be in a position, first of all, to issue the first CPR volumetric report based on the recent interpretation of the 3D, and in parallel we will deliver the last batch of data to our potential partner, which is Total, in order for them to take the farm-in decision that they need to take within 120 days. So basically, in September we can expect a CPR. Mm-hmm. on our Rindwick block in Guyana. From what we see by now, and I cannot quote any numbers because we still didn't do the volumetric assessment, but from what we see right now, we already identified additional leads and prospects and target that directly correspond to the recent Exxon discoveries in the adjacent block. And as I said, once the last batch of data will be delivered to us, we will immediately deliver it to Total. Total has been reviewing and interpreting the data for themselves since January, so I think they already have their mind exactly what they see there and how they want to take this forward. And let me put it this way, I'm quite confident that by the time we drill this block next year, Total will be our partner.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to ask you that. I would say they've been looking at the data as it's been coming in, of course, and they obviously, they've almost made their mind up probably by now, and you give me the answer there, so you're quite confident of that. Okay, cool. Well, it's all looking good. So CPR next month. In fact, we're almost in September now, but CPR then, and then, of course, you've got the final data there. So what about Namibia?
In Namibia, we have matured our block since 2011. We have matured the block, three of our four blocks in the Wallabies Basin, to the stage that two of them are already drill ready. As you know, along the way, we partnered with Tullow Oil on one of our blocks. We partnered with Azinam on additional two blocks. Now we already completed the environmental impact study, and we applied for the environmental certificate to go ahead and drill our prospects next year. However, as you know, this coming Saturday, Tullow will spud the first well on their Cormorant prospect, which is the adjacent block to ours, mm-hmm. what they call PEL-37. They're going to drill it in partnership with our good friends Africa Energy and with Pan Continental and ONGC from India. So this will spud 1st of September, this coming Saturday. I believe that by the end of September, beginning of October, we will get the results that will educate us substantially about the play, regardless if it's going to be a big discovery or a small discovery or any intermediate kind of results. We will gain a lot of information on the play. The rig then will move a bit south to the block 71, which is operated by Chariot and Azinam. So we're going to see two wells, very high impact wells in Namibia in September and October. So we are as very much the entire industry, as well as investors, are looking to these two very high impact wells. And as I said, the results will educate us and will add a lot of information about exactly how the play works. For myself, I have no doubt that there is oil in Namibia, and we just need to see more and more exploration attempts. The good news is that the big boys, as we spoke earlier, the big boys now starting to understand that the play there suggests that there's oil. And Exxon recently moved into the basin in partnership with Galp. 2 weeks ago, they found into yet another block in the basin, adjacent to all four of our blocks. Total are in the region, Shell are in the region. So I think that the next few months and 2019 will be very, very interesting to watch in Namibia and for sure in Guyana.
Mm-hmm. And I see there, You say, in line with the company's strategy, you are actively identifying, evaluating and negotiating additional upstream project opportunities.
Exactly. As we spoke earlier, Justin, the business model is to identify early stage opportunities in prospective areas. Now that we have Guyana pretty much sorted with Tullow Oil as the operator and Total as a potential farming partner very, very soon, we can now focus more or we can give some more attention or more of our management time to look at other opportunities alongside the same kind of strategy, early stage, prospective area, stable jurisdiction, preferably offshore Atlantic margin. And we are quite busy these days assessing, evaluating and applying for additional opportunities. I hope I will have something to tell to the market in the coming months.
And you've got decent cash there, 13 million. Is that Canadian dollars, is it? 13 million?
Yeah, we have 13 million Canadian dollars at the moment, end of June. We have 14 million Canadian dollars in working capital. But the potential exercise of Total farming option will add... We will double this cash. It will add additional $12.5 million US dollars to our treasury. So we will be in a very, very strong position with a very healthy balance sheet towards next year exploration wells in Guyana.
Marvelous stuff. Well, Gil, one final thing to do. If someone's listening to this, likes the sound of the progress you're making, but are not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Nah, that's easy. There's a CPR coming on Guyana. I think it will be interesting to review. There's the Total decision, which is expected in the next few months. One additional reason is the Cormorant prospect that is going to be drilled by Tullow as of this Saturday in Namibia. And the other reason is the prospect S of Chariot and Azinam that is going to be drilled in Namibia in October. A lot to watch, both from directly into ECHO as well into the regions we are working in, Namibia and Guyana. So I believe that the next few months will produce a lot of positive news flow from these two regions.
Marvelous stuff, Gil. Good to chat to you. Like I say, news.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Yeah, news not far off. So hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Gorringe, CEO of Andlas Energy and Power. That's ADL ticker. Simon, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, it's probably worth, you know, before we start and introducing the company and going into the recent news, probably worth, you know, introducing yourself, where you've come from and your background, if you could, Simon.
Sure, yeah. I've been, I'm a 40 years industry player. I started in the downstream and moved into oil and gas in the late 80s, worked for the majors in the 90s, small independents in the noughties, and since then been working on small independents and my own companies in the current decade. My background is I focus very much on commercializing undeveloped discoveries. So that's taking it from the actual discovery of the oil and gas right the way through to commercialization. I'm a chemical engineer by background, so I do all the planner developments and submissions to either internally to the boards or to the government representatives, and then I go out and actually execute the project. So I'm, I guess, a bit hands-on, I'm afraid, Justin. I like to get my hands dirty and get out there and turn the wheels, which is what the fun bit I like about the project. So I've worked on many projects here in the UK and in Asia. I've done a number of projects in Vietnam and Indonesia, but most of my career was spent in the 90s and the noughties working here in the UK on offshore oil and gas projects across all of the northern, central and southern North Sea.
Marvellous stuff. Okay, and before we get into, like I said, the recent news, I mean, I'm sure that people are aware of Andlas, but you've sort of had a shapeshift of late, and you've refined direction, and it's changed a bit. So just summarise the moment. What is Andlas all about, please, Simon?
Yes, I started as CEO at the back end of last year. I sort of, as you said, reshaped the strategy. Andlas is an oil and gas exploration and production company. We are looking to invest in projects that will deliver value in the sale of oil and gas. And our preferred investment is near-term production. Near-term means that the field has been discovered and possibly appraised, but it really needs our expertise in actually commercializing it. So it plays to our strengths. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at opportunities in Indonesia and in the UK. We like Indonesia because it's asset rich. Obviously there are issues there in terms of getting commercial and legal issues resolved before you can acquire an asset. But the underlying technical aspect, the resource volumes and reserves in a lot of the Indonesian fields are solid. In the UK, what we're attracted to in the UK is obviously it sits with my skill set and other team members' skill sets. And as you said earlier, I've worked a lot in the UK. So we have recently acquired an interest in Eagle, who've got an interest in the Badger prospect, which is in the southern North Sea, which is an area that I know extremely well. I was involved in putting a lot of the infrastructure in there in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is we're building an E&P company from the bottom up. We're focused very much on near-term production, and that's really what I'm here to talk about, is our latest acquisition.
Yeah, well, you announced the conditional acquisition of the Indonesian oil project. Tell us a bit more about this, if you could, and about the asset and the opportunity there, if you could, Simon.
Sure, yeah. Well, as I mentioned earlier, we're looking to broaden our operations. Bunga Mas is the first step, if you like, in rolling out our strategy into upstream oil and gas in Indonesia and in the UK. It's predominantly an oil asset. It's very near infrastructure, which means that any discovered resources can be put into production quickly, at least by Indonesian standards. The initial focus will be on the near-term development of the discovered Marwa field, which is a relatively low-risk profile. It's attractive as it means we can get into early production. We're targeting up to 3.3 million barrels of oil, which at the current $70 oil price would be significant value for us on its own. However, longer term, the PSC, which runs until 2035, has significant upside in the form of a number of leads and prospects, each with multi-million barrel potential.
I see. And how did you structure that deal?
Okay, well, we've been working on this project since April. In that time, we've completed significant technical and legal due diligence and negotiated a deal that works for us and the shareholders. We structured it with a no cash requirement up front. And once the deal completes, any cash invested will be put towards the longer term objective of bringing Marwa into production in the near term, subject to plan of development approval by the government. The deal structure gives Andalus 100% economic control, and we've aligned the vendor's success to that of the Andalus shareholders, which for us was critical. So their desire to receive sort of future cash flows via the royalty is a measure of their faith in the asset. And it makes it very attractive for us. And we're looking forward to working with the vendors in the future. They are significantly motivated to move this asset forward with us. So we're effectively treating them as our new partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how is it going to be developed then, Simon?
Well, firstly and most importantly, we need to wait for the license extension. That allows us to complete the deal. Until then, we don't have any requirement to spend money on Bunga Mas. Onshore Sumatra, and I haven't mentioned where it is, it sits actually in South Sumatra, southwest Sumatra, very near to a town called Lahat. It's a low-cost operating environment with relatively low-cost drilling. We've also acquired our share of the brought forward cost pool, which is significant at $111 million, which under the terms of the PSC mean that we can recover part of these past investment costs, both our own and those of the former PSC owners, before the bulk of the distributions to the state start to kick in. So our due diligence has shown that these factors together add up to a project with very strong economics, which is why we've done the deal. And finally, because we have the right to develop 100% of the project, we may use the time between now and completion to look for partners to help finance the development, which of course assumes that any deal would first need to be accretive to handle the shareholders.
Yeah, absolutely. And so taking a sort of overview of a the timeline here of events, what's the next steps for Andalus?
Well, we're focused on making sure we progress all our current assets so that, you know, we generate value for our shareholders and prove our strategy. We're pleased to have raised £1 million last month. This, together with our due diligence, means that we're well positioned to hit the ground running once the government approves the license extension. And in addition, we're keen to keep looking for new opportunities that would sit well in our portfolio and might have the potential to generate shareholder value in the near term.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, Simon, it was good to chat to you. And you say you've got a few things going on, so hopefully we'll chat again in the not too distant future. But in the meantime, for someone listening to this, likes what you're doing here and the direction you're taking, the progress you're making, but are not following the story, can you give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please?
Well, under my leadership, Andalus is just getting started. We've been busy. As I said earlier, finding the right assets takes time. But in the last 6 months, we've shown we can deliver, but we're not standing still. I'm building a portfolio of short, medium and long term opportunities that complements our team's core skills, which is putting undeveloped and unloved oil and gas discoveries into production. With money in the bank and a growing portfolio of opportunities that can deliver value to shareholders, and we believe we've created value that's not yet reflected in our market cap.
Absolutely. So I'm good to chat to you. Hopefully we'll be chatting again very soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Justin. Thanks very much.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Simon Waitenberg from powtoken.com. You all right, Simon?
Yeah, good. How are you doing, Justin?
Yeah, I'm very good. We haven't spoken for a while. In fact, I'm surprised it hasn't been since January, which is an amazing thing. So before we go into the details here, explain to people, if you could, Simon, because I know you're offline for a while. Obviously, you didn't sort of publicise too much, but PowToken, yep. What is it?
PowToken is a real cryptocurrency, plain and simple. We have launched PowToken to provide a cryptocurrency for the masses. So we're trying to make it easy for everyone in the world to adopt the use of cryptocurrencies, which to most people sound like a very technical and very complicated product or development, and we're trying to make it easy for everyone in the world to use cryptocurrencies and to own and hold cryptocurrency.
Yeah, because when I've tweeted it out, the link there, and said, listen, this is a free cryptocurrency. It doesn't cost you anything. You have to log in with Facebook or Twitter, but that's not to steal your data. It's there to stop spam or bots signing up. People just think, hang on a second, why is it free? I don't understand this. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds like a scam. So why is it free? What are you hoping to do with it?
Well, the idea is that I think the majority of the public are put off by the difficulty of getting involved in cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum or, any of the currencies that are now out there. Because, these sort of highly technical concepts like public keys and private keys and decentralized exchanges and, the average man on the street doesn't really understand what it's all about. So we've made it as simple as possible for anyone in the world to get a free initial allocation of our cryptocurrency, PowToken. If you like, it's like a cryptocurrency with training wheels on. I sometimes describe it as. You get your first free allocation simply by logging on with any of your social media sites, so you can come in and claim your first free allocation of POW with your Facebook login or with your Twitter login. Now you can do it actually with your Reddit login, or if you happen to be a Coinbase account holder, you can claim some free POW with your Coinbase account. Mm-hmm. The point is that once you've got this free allocation, the powtoken.com site is in effect a wallet for your free power currency, and then you can start transferring it and using it between your friends. So you can transfer this currency anywhere in the world, or between your friends, or between anybody that you wish to send it to, and it's completely free to send it between your friends. That's obviously one of the main advantages of POW. Once people have got used to using this currency, having had their first free allocation of it, they may want to use more, and they're at liberty to go and to buy more, and it can be traded on a standard crypto exchange like Fork Delta. So POW token is in fact listed on Fork Delta, and it's going to be listed on another exchange called Trade.io very soon. The point is that the currency is traded like any other currency, whether that's a fiat currency like the US dollar or the pound, on an exchange, and it's a public exchange open to anybody to buy and sell the currency.
Yeah, and so for people not aware of crypto, I mean, how do they gain inherent value? Is it because more people just use it and they're available on more exchanges? Is that the way it works?
Yeah, I think it's a complicated question. You know, what is the value of a currency? Why does the the pound in your pocket have? Why do you consider it to be valuable? After all, it's just a piece of paper that you have in your wallet. It's most fiat currencies. Currencies that are government backed are not asset backed. So you can't take that £5 note to the Bank of England and get the same weight of gold anymore. Indeed, it used to be that the Queen promised to pay the bearer on demand an amount of money, but now she doesn't even do that. It's the Governor of the Bank of England who's promising. But there's no asset behind the currencies that we know and use today. There's no limit on the supply of these currencies, so governments can continue to issue more and more of these currencies as long as they like. There's no cap, there's no law that stops them doing so. So therefore you might ask, well, why is this bit of paper actually valuable? And I guess it has to be because the people who hold these bits of paper are willing to use them as a method of exchange. Mm-hmm. And you can take this bit of paper down to the shop and you can buy your pint of milk or your loaf of bread, and the shopkeeper is prepared to accept the bit of paper in return for those goods.
Yeah, so it basically becomes widely accepted, and the question is, how does it become widely accepted? I mean, with cryptos, I don't know how it works. Did you apply to exchanges, and the more exchanges you get on, the more accepted you are? Is that the way?
No, I think it's more about, actually, it's about the more people who hold a currency, the more people who will use it, and therefore, the more people that use the currency, the more valuable it becomes, because the more useful it becomes. Mm-hmm. And so our theory here with POW is we want to get the maximum number of people holding and using the currency possible. And the theory is that the more people who hold it and use it, the more valuable it will become. So, today we have just over 300,000 people globally who hold and are using the POW token. But we could have billions of people globally using the POW token. And at that point, we would hope that POW would be as valuable as the US dollar.
I hope it will be, because I do hold a nice little chunk of POW token, I think. But so as at the moment, I'm just holding it. For people not aware, I'm holding it on, it's visible on your website, my balance, my current worth and all your balance. So what can I do with this now? Is it can I transfer it out somewhere, or what's the point?
Yeah, you can spend it amongst your friends. So, you know, if one of your friends was willing to accept payment in PAL, then you could transfer it amongst your friends, and it's free to do so. There are no charges and no fees for making transfers. Or you can also... We built a bridge which was up and live for about 24 hours just over a week ago, so that you can transfer your PAL out into a crypto wallet of your choice, and then you can trade it on an exchange, and you can sell your PAL and convert it into US dollars or pounds or euros or whatever you might wish to do. We had a technical issue with the bridge, but we're busy working on that, and we should have the bridge back up and live on the 21st of September this month, at which point, you know, anybody who's using or holding PAL in their PAL token wallet can transfer out and trade their PAL on exchange if they wish to do so.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you seem like you're very busy now in the crypto space, but you said there, you hopefully your ambition for PAL token is to become valued where?
Well, it could be valued in the same way as the US dollar, and you know, that's worth the total market cap of the US dollar, I think, is about 300 trillion. we're currently, I think, PAL is currently valued at something like 20 million. So we've got a long way to go and many more users to attract. But I think the nice thing about PAL is that it's in everyone's interest. Anybody who's holding PAL, it's in their interest to tell their friends to come and get their free allocation of PAL. Because when they do refer a friend, they will also receive an additional amount of PAL just for making that referral. So they can earn PAL by telling their friends. And on top of that, by doing so, they should be increasing the value of PAL, because the more and more people who come and claim their PAL and hold PAL, the more valuable it will become over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how many users do you say you had at the moment?
It's around about 350,000 at the moment. You know, and it's growing daily. But of course, you know, we'd like all our users to spread the word and refer it to all their friends. And
how does that compare with other sort of cryptocurrencies around about your size?
We're probably very widely accepted in terms of, I mean, you know, so Bitcoin, I would say, has about 2 million holders and owners at the moment. So, you know, 350,000 for a currency isn't bad. But our ambitions are, you know, much higher than that. We see no reason, because we've made it so easy to come and get a free allocation and to own it and hold it. You know, why wouldn't anybody in the world come and get a free allocation? There's absolutely no risk attached.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I know you're involved in the crypto space there and investing in crypto. I mean, it's had a bit of a fall off, hasn't it, the last few months, and there's been a bit of a churn there. What's your thoughts? Do you think it's now still a viable future? I mean, obviously, you're probably going to be quite biased to this. But I mean, blockchain as a whole?
Most definitely. But blockchain as a technology is, I think it's the biggest thing to happen to the world since the Industrial Revolution or the Internet Revolution. So I think we're going to see a boom in blockchain development over the next 10 years. And it'll be similar to the internet, but times 10. And I think that currencies like Bitcoin are here to stay. Governments have tried to stop it, but they can't. And indeed, the fact that there is a cap on the issue of currencies like Bitcoin should make them more valuable and used as a store of wealth ahead of commodities like gold in the future. So I think actually there'll, you know, over the next 10 years, maybe 20 years, there'll be an exodus from fiat currencies into currencies like Bitcoin or perhaps even pound.
Yeah, oh, hopefully. marvellous stuff. Well, Simon, listen, let's make it a bit shorter in between chats next time, so hopefully we'll catch up in a couple of months' time and see how it's going. And in the meantime, good luck, and I'll speak soon, fella.
Lovely. Thank you for having me.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, Red Emperor Resources. At four, of course, I had the guys on from Red Emperor a few days back. At four, Solo Oil. At three, Anglo-African Oil and Gas. At two, Predator Oil and Gas. And number one most followed company is Tuple, T-O-O-P. Okay, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. One, two, three, four, if I make a count. At five, Sound Energy, Eastern Morocco, New Petroleum Agreement. At four, Metal Tiger, funding closes on 6.2 million. Eco Energy at three, LOI, letter of intent for new Rio Salado tea and update resales. At two, Premier African Minerals, RHA drilling update. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Management Resource Solutions, and it's a Backman Plant Hire awarded $3 million project with BMD. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos appreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.